right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday will be coming up, so get your requests in now. 312-981-7200 for funky R&B hits. 312-981-7200. We'll have all of our regular features. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. Plus, we're going to talk about movies from the 90s that you never turn off when they show up on TV. Just we'll get into some of that as well. But right now, we want to welcome back to the show Skip Haines from the band Eliota Haines Jeremiah. And that song you heard, Lakeshore Drive, is a classic. And the last time we talked to Skip was right before the release of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, in which Lakeshore Drive is prominently featured. And now Skip is back to talk about that and the fact that you can get a personalized version of Lakeshore Drive with your name in the lyrics done by Skip. And it's at lakeshoredrivemusic.com for more information. Lakeshoredrivemusic.com will tell you how you can get that done. I have one that Skip did for me, and it's awesome. But now we want to talk about this new book that Skip has written, a very, very entertaining book, Lakeshore Drive, Stories of the Road and Tales of the Tropicana, or What's a Nice Guy Like Me Doing in a Band Like This? It is a very entertaining book full of crazy stories about what it's like to be in a band in the 70s on the road and all of that great stuff. And we welcome Skip back to the show. Skip, how are you?
Great, Nick. How are you?
Good. The book is very entertaining, man. Let me just say that right off the bat. First of all, was it just that you had all these stories from when you're on the road and you wanted to put them all in one book?
Well, it actually came from, those were actually stories that I ended up telling on stage.
Oh, okay.
Consistently. They were just things that happened to us, and every once in a while you'd tell a story, you know, and if people would really like it, so you tell it again, and then, you know, it gets, you have kind of a wet repertoire of these ridiculous stories.
Yeah.
They're
really great. Now, how much of it is fictionalized, and how much of it is? I mean, I'm assuming it's all based in some sort of reality.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy, but yeah, it's docufiction.
Okay,
stuff in there is true, and you can, you know, the clubs and places we play, those are all true, and then there's some things that are a little hazy.
Yeah, right,
so
sure.
That way.
Sure. I mean, it was the 70s, so right there, that should say a lot. But you split the stories into two, Stories of the Road and then Tales of the Tropicana.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about how those were split up.
Well, the road stories were kind of like, it kind of chronicled the way our band, you know, happened. Like we our first album we did in New York. So the first story is something that happened in New York involving some midgets and a 6-foot redhead.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to tell about that story. You have to read it.
Right.
The little people.
Yeah.
And I'm still a little worried about today. But,
yeah.
You know, and then the stories, we played like Spearfish, South Dakota, and Winona, Minnesota, and, you know, Fargo, and, you know, it's like, because the farther out you played, the more money you got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And the farther out it was, the harder it was to get acts to go out there.
Yeah.
So, and we were the junior act on CMA, and so they sent us to all these places. So it kind of actually, you know, encapsulated a lot of the things you did on the road, you know, as a band. I'm sure all bands did some form of what I'm describing, but we just ran into some exceptionally weird people.
Yeah, yeah. And judging by the book, there's some crazy stuff in this book, Skip. I got to tell
you. Yeah, there is.
So let me just first of all, before we get into more of the book, and I want to talk about some of the stuff, I don't want to give away everything about the stories, but I have specific
right.
I have specific questions about
sure.
stories as well, because they're right. they're so entertaining. Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, I have.
And what did you think?
Well, I had no idea what was going on, but I loved it. I was clueless, and I live in California, so I was high when I saw it. But I had no idea. I liked the raccoon. I had I had a really good time with it. And then, of course, you know, actually hearing your song in a movie theater is kind of surreal unto itself.
But yeah.
I thought it was a great movie. It was really fun. I was actually feeling bad about a computer-generated graphic of a raccoon in a spacesuit.
Yeah.
I was, like, into it enough for like, oh, Rocket Man. You know, it's like, I totally enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now, I'm assuming, did you see the first one?
No.
Oh, see, that's why you were...
seen the first one.
That's okay. That's pretty much why you didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right. I kind of got the drift after I saw the movie and I learned more about it.
Right. Because the second one's right at the beginning of the movie, throws you right in the middle of the action. You have to know who the characters are already.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, the opening credit sequence to Mr. Blue Sky was what that is just, I love that. I love the opening credits with Baby Groot dancing to Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah, no, it was a very cool movie to go to and be a part of.
And then when your song came on, it was so great. You know, it's very early in the movie, too, when it happens.
Right.
You hear it over the soundtrack first, and it's playing in the background during the whole scene.
Yes, apparently it's one of the director's favorite songs.
Yeah.
It might even be his mom's favorite song.
It's funny because we talked about it, you know, the last time you were here, how James Gunn ended up picking it, and we said that he is from St. Louis.
Right.
And that's how he got turned on to Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, except he was born after it came out.
I mean, he
wasn't even alive when that song came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, congratulations on that. And have you been getting any feedback about, I mean, have you found new fans thanks to that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That part of it's crazy. And another thing that happened, I got together with my old manager, still around. He was the only guy that liked Lakeshore Drive. And we got back together because of the movie. And to make a long story short, we're now turning Aliotta Haynes Jeremiah into a comic book.
Oh, come on, yeah?
Yeah, and we're actually talking with James Gunn about it. A comic book and an animated television series.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's called Lakeshore Drive, Road Stories Through Time and Space with Aliotta Haynes, Jeremiah, and Arthur.
That is fantastic. So that is fantastic. So congratulations on this. I mean, how would you ever have expected so many years later that out of nowhere, your great song that, you know, that so many people love ends up in the biggest movie of the year, and now you might be doing a comic book in an animated series?
Yeah, no, of course not.
Yeah.
But Lakeshore Drive always kind of did stuff like that. It was always burbling underneath it never went away. It never just became like a dead record. It was always, stuff was always happening with it, but not at this level. And that was just, like, insane. I mean, that's just, like, there's no way. The only thing I can tell people is don't give up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I can say. Don't give up. If this could happen to me 45 years later.
Right.
It's
funny because, you know, the last time you were on with us, we talked a little bit about how, you know, the song was recorded and how it came to be and all that cool stuff. But you and your manager are going to be doing a multi-part web series really going in depth about how the song was created, correct?
Yeah, we're doing that, and now it's turning into a live kind of what's happening with the song, as it, you know, because all of a sudden it's taken on a new life of its own. And it was weird because I got together with my manager and I said, you know, so many people are calling up or emailing or contacting, asking what the lyrics of the song are about. I said, why don't we do? Because I write books, you know. So I said, why don't we do a little short book about the lyrics, about the song? We'll do a book about the song. I said, you know, because he had all the original contracts. He had all the cool stuff you could see in the first acetate and all that. And wow. I didn't even remember we'd formed a record label called Snow Queen Records. He says, yeah, I still have the logo. Don't you remember? You drew it from your Coke spoon. I went, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, so it was like, and, you know, because we were like a funny band. We didn't have drums, you know, so we weren't slammers, and just really funny stuff happened to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mitch Aliotta was really good. He was like a fun magnet, you know, and it's like we just met the most bizarre people that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't tell you how many times Mitchell and I turned around and looked at each other and went, do you believe this? Do you believe these people?
Yeah.
Can you believe this is going on?
Well, you know, having read the book, yeah, you're absolutely right, Skip.
Yeah. So just getting back quickly to half of the book is about the band being on the road.
Right.
The other half, there was a motel in Los Angeles called the Sandy Koufax, the baseball player, owned it. It was called the Tropicana Motor Hotel.
Right.
It was at 8585 Santa Monica Boulevard. And it was a sleazy motel. Half of it was rooms, and the other half were apartments where the pool was. And it's like, but when we first played the Troubadour in 1970, they wanted to put us in the Beverly Hills Hotel. We were idiots. We should have gone to the Beverly Hills Hotel. But we had heard about the Tropicana.
Right.
We said, no, we want to stay at this, because Elvis Presley had stayed there. Every band in the world stayed there. And all I can remember is the first time we got in that room, the bed was broken in half, and there were Band-Aids all over the ceiling. So go figure from there.
Yeah.
So it was this great place, and so many things happened at that place that the last four stories were actually took place at the Tropicana. Mm. Anybody who was into rock and roll is probably from the 50s through the 80s, you know, knew the Tropicana. And there's a restaurant there called Duke's, which was a famous restaurant.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and so many of the stories are so crazy. I mean, really. And look, before we got to take a break here. I want to mention when we come back, we'll talk more about the book, and we'll tell everybody how they can get a personalized version of Lakeshore Drive as well. But I want to ask you, give acknowledgement to the person who did the artwork, the pictures, the drawings in the book.
Oh, I did the drawings.
Oh, you did the drawings?
Yes, I'm a trained, I actually went to art school. I was going to be a science fiction illustrator.
They're great, man.
Thank you.
They're really good. I didn't know that. I guess I missed that credit in the book.
I drew them and there's some, you know, there's some history in the drawings. Of course, it's all drug history. After I looked at this again, I went, "Holy cow, man!"
I have several of them. I mean, I love them all, but I think my favorite one is when you guys got busted for indecent exposure peeing outside the taxi. I think that's
that was really stupid. Really, the only problem is in a band, like, if one guy wants a red shirt, everybody gets a red shirt. If one guy has to pee, everybody has.
That's right. Hang on a second, okay, yeah. Skip? Hang on. Skip Haines is with us. His book is called Lakeshore Drive, Stories of the Road and Tales from the Tales of the Tropicana. It is a terrific book, a great book about rock and roll and about being on the road and being in a band and all the weird, weird things that happen. It's really great, with wonderful illustrations by Skip as well. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, talk more about the book, and we'll tell you how you can get a personalized version of Lakeshore Drive for yourself right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday. And all the regular Friday features are coming up. Right now, though, we are talking with Skip Haines, who you remember from Eliota Haines and Jeremiah. And that was a long time gone that we heard. And the song Lakeshore Drive is the most recognizable song that they did. Skip, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Nick.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the stories. In the book, the story where you basically went home with a woman with split personality. How much of that is real? And I mean, was that a real thing?
Yeah, that was a real thing. it might be slightly embellished because I like to make the stories funny, but that was actually a real thing.
That's terrifying, man.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It scared the crap out of me. I was just like, I was doomed, and I was totally looted out, so there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
It's funny.
The body.
It's funny what a guy will put up with if the woman is, like, really amazing looking.
Oh, my God,
Like, if a woman is crazy. I've been with crazy women. simply yeah. because they were, like, astoundingly attractive.
Yes.
And that's the that sounds like the case here, because this woman was certifiable.
Yeah, 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 she was. She was, like, really scarily certifiable, but, you know, until that actually presented itself, I was like, wow, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I love that, like, when you were leaving, everybody knew where you were, and everybody knew about her, like, she was legendary.
Oh, yeah, she was famous. She was famous. Like, here comes another moron. You know, hey, yeah, it was funny.
Really funny, it was, man. Yeah. Really funny. Yeah. And it's just so fun to read, man. The book is really well written and so much fun. And I also love the one where you guys had a gig, but they had the wrong date.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, you had to play the gig in order to get paid, even though no one was there except for one guy who was dead.
Right.
Who died while you guys were actually playing.
Probably while we were setting up. Oh, yeah, no. It was the Cinderella Ballroom.
Yeah.
In Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was like we did a concert for a dead guy.
And you didn't find out he was dead until after
after
you finished.
At the very end. If I road managed, it was like, uh-oh, we killed Mr. Peterson's watch guy. We got to practice more.
Yeah.
That's what Mitchell said.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
It probably freaked us out more than the dead guy.
Yeah.
Because Mitchell flatly refused to practice. He felt that practice spoiled the spontaneity of the performance.
Mm. So, for everybody, how did you guys get together? How did the band get together?
We got together. I used to sing at a place called the Saddle Club on North Avenue. And it was like, they called them Hootenannies then, but it was like an open mic night. And it was a really big one. And Mitch was with the Rotary Connect. I had met him because I kind of auditioned for the Rotary Connection when it first happened, but I didn't want to do it. But I met Mitch there. And he used to come into the Saddle Club, like on Monday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just stand against the wall, and then we go to the bar and drink, and we both lived right down the street on Wells Street. He lived, like, on Eugenie, and I lived right at North and Wells.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we used to go over to my house or his house, and we'd just get high and play and sing all night. And, you know, this happened probably for months. And then he introduced me to his brother, Ted, and we went over to Mitch's house, and for some reason we wrote three songs. We'd never written anything before. And then the next night we got together and wrote three songs. Then Ted knew some producer from New York who came in to see Ted's band. The producer didn't like Ted's band, but he came in. So Ted says, hey, me and my brother and this guy wrote some songs. You want to hear it? So he came up to the apartment. 2 weeks later, we were in New York recording their first album.
That's amazing. That is an amazing
story. I didn't even know how to say Aliota for the first 2 weeks. And at that time, we were called Aliota Haynes Music because this was 1970 or 71. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it was me and the two Aliota brothers. So it was called Aliota Haynes Music.
Yeah.
Our record company in New York, Ampex Records, they hadn't met us. They thought we were a black female blues singer, and they wanted to have us arrested when we finally came into the office. They didn't know, Aliota Haynes?
That is great.
Yeah, so that's how we kind of got together. And then Ted left the band due to musical differences.
Uh-huh.
And we were up for our second, because at that time they used to give you three albums. First album, the record company figured you'd get in your chops. Second album, you're building your audience, and third album should be a hit. If it wasn't, you're out.
Right.
You know, so Ted left, and we were up for our second album, and the record company said, we want original material, and it has to be a trio where you guys are finished. So I had to start writing songs. That's why I started writing songs.
Yeah.
Because we needed at least, I think it was six original songs.
Yeah.
Or we would have lost. And then we needed a third, and Mitch said, and this guy, John Jeremiah, he's a piano player. And John came over, and I was living right above a place called the Earl of Old Town.
Oh, yeah.
On North and Wells.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jeremiah came over and brought his piano, and we, you know, played. We played for 4 or 5 hours. We started playing. And then Earl Pianchi, who owned the Earl of Old Town, came up and banged on our doors like a Monday night, and he says, "My act just quit. Can you guys go down and fill in for the act?" And we did, and we didn't stop playing for like 13 years.
There you go. That's great. Okay, listen, but let's play Dan, can we play the swatch of my personalized version of Lakeshore Drive so that we can hear what it sounds like here? And there ain't no road just like it. It's so cool, man. I love it, man. I love it so much, Skip. And people can...
I'm sorry, Nick.
People can get the personalized version, right, at lakeshoredrivemusic.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I was going to stop doing them, but I got so many of them that I'm going to keep it open maybe for another couple of weeks.
Okay. All right, so people, if you want to sneak in there and get it done, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, just give me your name, and we'll put you in LSD.
There you go. All right, listen, I got to tell you, Skip, always a pleasure. Man, and the book is just incredibly entertaining. The stories are great. The lyrics are great. The illustrations are great. I loved it, man. And
well, thank you.
And I hope everybody buys it. It's available now. We have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show for everything related to Skip Haines. Skip, always a pleasure. We'll get you back on the show soon, okay, man?
Okay, Nick, thanks.
All right, buddy. Take
care.
Say
hi to Dan for me.
I will. There you go. Skip Haines, everybody. Lakeshore Drive, Stories of the Road, and Tales of the Tropicana, or What's a Nice Guy Like Me Doing in a Band Like This? All right, we're going to take a break here on 720 WGN.